It sure is great to see you this morning. Thank you to all of those who have led in our worship today, and thank you for your willing participation in it as well. It is a very dreary day outside. It is probably not the most ideal of beauty outside. But inside here, it's so beautiful. Inside here, we've been able to sing praises to our Father. We've been able to go before Him, His throne, and have prayer. We've been able to open up His Word. We've been able to gather around together, partake of this communion to remember what Christ did for us on the cross. A lot of things that David mentioned in his lesson to us this morning to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper reminded me a lot of what we're going to talk about today. Today, we are talking about the gift of peace. You see, last week we began a series of lessons on, as David reminded us, that Paul said to the church at Corinth, He is that indescribable gift. Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all, He, the Messiah. He, the King of the Jews. He, the Supreme Sovereign Lord, was born one of the most lowliest of births that could be. There was not even room for His family in an inn. So He was born in a stable with animals. We talk about today cleanliness. We talk about, you know, our babies and have you washed your hands? Have you sanitized your hands? You know, if you've got sniffles, don't come around. And I'm not knocking any of that. I get it. My babies were sick a lot. But can you imagine the conditions? This is the Savior of the world coming into the world as is described at just the right time. He was born to Mary, born to Joseph, and they took swaddling cloths, just pieces of fabric, and they wrapped Him up. They swaddled Him up, if you will, in those swaddling cloths. Out in the field, those shepherds were doing what they normally do when the messenger appeared to them and said, Hey, today the Savior of the world's been born. Go into this stable. Go into this room. You'll find Him lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. Well, that baby grew up to be the greatest gift of all. Yes, He was a gift to His parents. Yes, He was a gift to those shepherds, to those wise men who visited later. But He has been a gift to all the world. And because of that today, we can have peace. You see, I don't know what's on your Christmas list. I do not know what, but I imagine there are a lot of children here that could spout off their list pretty quickly if we asked them. I don't know what's at the top, but if peace is not near the top, I'm not real sure we've got our priorities right. We live in a world of conflict. We live in a world of war. And I'm not even talking about the physical. There is a spiritual war going on. But here's what Jesus said about it. In John 14, verses 25 through 27. The words of Christ now, listen to this. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Today, I would imagine there are certain people, even in this room, that have some troubled hearts. You know, I would imagine, you know, David did a great job not only at the Lord's Supper part, but I thought beautifully said at the giving part. We are in a recession. We are in times when inflation is at, in my lifetime, at least as I can remember, the highest. And so, yes, things get in the way, and maybe you're troubled to even pay for Christmas. Maybe you're troubled to even buy groceries because groceries are expensive and everything's going on, and all these troubles come. And listen, we can read all the peace books, and we can read all the help books, and we can read all, have somebody give us the best advice and encounter counselors and psychiatrists and everybody else to try to calm our anxieties, calm our fears and everything else. But folks, I'm telling you, if it's not unwrapped in Jesus Christ in your life, you can't have peace. And I'm going to prove that to you today. Philippians chapter 4. I'm not changing for whatever reason. There we go. Philippians chapter 4, Bo read to us from verses 6 and 7, but I want to back up and read verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. From a prison cell, Paul said it, by the way. Remember, he was in prison now. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. How can he say that? How can he say it? Because remember, in the book of Philippians, he was struggling to... He said, one part of me says it'll be far better if I die today. But it'd be better for you if I live. And so he was really struggling with this. The next person that comes into this room, is it going to be the one that takes and beheads me? But he put all that aside to write a peaceful book to the church at Philippi. Why? Because he'd unwrapped the gift. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. You think he had to remind himself of that? He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here it is. And the peace of God. It belongs to God. That's what that means. Peace belongs to him, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I want to take your minds back now to a moment. I'm talking about that gift of peace that Jesus reminded us of in John 14, verse 27. Listen to the way he talks about peace. We've probably quoted that verse and probably referenced that verse a lot when talking about peace. John 14, 27. But I want you to hear what Jesus says. He says this. It's very unique. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Jesus Christ says, he can give us peace. It is a gift. And then he says that this peace is his peace. Now hear that again now. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. This peace is a gift. This gift only comes from Jesus Christ. He says it is different from the world. You know, I guess we probably know that, but have we meditated on that lately? We all desire peace, but what really gives us peace? Is peace just an absence of any trouble or problems? Think about that today. If I could take all your problems away, all your troubles away, or at least temporarily take them away, we might say, well, I feel very peaceful. This is very peaceful. But is that all it is? Is peace just an atmosphere of quietness or serenity? Listen, I've been in places before that's been very peaceful, where it's been calm and you maybe just hear nature around you and you think, hey man, I've got a lot of peace right here. Is that all it is? You see, the world defines peace that way. It's saying that true peace comes, it has to do with your troubles, with your problems, with your surroundings. If you've got troubles, you got problems, you can't have peace. If you have surroundings that are not calm and you're worked up all the time, then you don't have peace. I'm sure there are places we can walk or we can go to that you've probably said are very peaceful. But if peace is the absence of any noise, the absence of problem or trouble, then peace is a product of our surrounding. But when we look at what Jesus said in John 14:27, that's not what true peace is all about. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Now remember, he's getting ready to leave his disciples. Earlier in John 14, remember he said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. The place I go, you know, and where I go, you know. Thomas didn't know where they were going. And Thomas said, Lord, how do we know the way? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. The disciples' hearts are troubled because Jesus is leaving. So down at the end of the chapter, there's still trouble. So he says, listen, I'm leaving you, but peace I leave with you. So you know what that tells me? Number one, Jesus Christ is the source of peace. Number two, he says, my peace I give to you. Not only is he the source of peace, he is the giver of peace. He says, I do not give to you as the world gives. It means only in Jesus can we find true peace today. Something the world does not have. World peace, if this world is not baptized into Jesus Christ, it'll never happen. True peace has nothing to do with us or nothing to do with our surroundings. Christ's peace is different from the world and something we cannot find in this world. No wonder the Apostle Paul says it is a peace that passes all understanding. In Luke chapter 2, I know we started there, but we're going back. Verses 8 through 12. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Those shepherds go into that stable. And when Jesus Christ, the baby, the gift to his mother, the gift to his earthly father, you know how it is. You are so proud to show your babies off, so proud to show my babies off. We are so excited. Look at my baby. You can imagine Mary's delight as she says, yes, I'll show you him. And she unwraps him. But what did she really unwrap? On this occasion, we're talking today, she unwrapped peace to all the world. You see, when the shepherds arrived and they unwrapped Jesus Christ, they unwrapped the wonderful gift of peace that God had sent into a world of conflict. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and following. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Why do we need that? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. They were at war in Luke 2. In 2022, we're still at war. See, that war is not physical. You can win physical wars. Oh, there's a lot of life, there's a lot of blood, but many of you, we're all products of wars being won, freedoms being fought for. Those things have happened, and we have been conquered. We've got our brothers and sisters from Ukraine here. They know physical war. One day, physical wars may end, but the spiritual war goes on. No matter how free we are, no matter how many lives have been shed, how much blood was shed for our freedom today, we are still at war because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So how do we today open the gift of peace? How do we acquire it? The first thing I want to remind you of today, if you're going to open the gift of peace, is you've got to believe in the sovereignty of God. What is sovereignty? It means He is in complete control. There is no one else God has to answer to, folks. He is in charge. When I think of sovereignty, when I think of God, I can only put that word with Him. I know you can look it up in the dictionary and you can probably see an army of this or a leader of this, and people probably said that so-and-so was the sovereign leader or the sovereign general or whatever. No, I only think of God. Because He doesn't have to answer to anybody else. You see, what Jesus said is very true, obviously. Only He can give us peace. Why? Because only God is in control of all things. If God can handle this whole universe, don't you think He can handle your troubles and problems today? If He cannot, He's not God. If He cannot, He's not God. And we have no guarantee of peace. If we believe that God is sovereign, then what do we really have to fear today? I mean, think about it. If we believe, and I mean not just have a glancing thought, a quick thought, oh, God is the sovereign God. Yes, He's in control. No, we meditate on it. We make application to it. We live our lives knowing that God is sovereign and He is in complete control. What do we have to fear today? Jesus said, don't fear the one who can kill the body. Fear the one who can destroy the soul. You see, there is nothing. Yeah, does anybody want to die today? No, we're not itching to do that. But worst case scenario, they separate my soul from my body today. Somewhere along the way, my soul is separated from my body. I used to tell kids this when I taught Immobile Christian. If that happened to me today, do not cry for me. You can cry for my wife. You can cry for my children. You can cry for my mama, my daddy, and other people, but don't cry for me. Because I've opened that gift of peace. We don't have to have fear today. If our God is the sovereign God, man cannot find peace in this life. They may search for it, you can't find it because you're not in control. You see, we cannot control circumstances around us, right? We cannot control the future. So we need to look to the one who is in control. Here's one of my favorite phrases. I hadn't said it in a while. We must let go and let God. Peace is not a product of circumstances. It is a product of God. It is a gift, not something we earn through our hard work. Since we can't depend on the circumstances, we can't depend on self, our only option today is to turn to God, open the gift, and accept and receive the gift of peace that comes from God through Jesus Christ, His Son. So how do you have peace? You believe and accept the sovereignty of God. Secondly, then you leave your burdens with Him. You know, I think a lot of people stay away from God. Maybe they don't admit it this way, but they really have a hard time letting go of control. If, you know, I've talked to people. Kind of my rule of counseling is this, and it's probably not just my rule. There's a lot of counselors. If you're ultimately not going to, and I mean this in all, with all the love and respect in my heart, but if you're not going to take the advice and make it applicable to your lives, then we're wasting one another's time, right? Isn't that the way it goes? Well, what happens when you counsel with somebody and they're unwilling to change some things, they're not going to get better. You know why? Because they're not willing to surrender that control. It's the same way in our spiritual walk. Now, the good news is God doesn't give up patience on us. He's got patience to the very end. But today, you cannot be overwhelmed by the thought that you need to be in control of your life. You've got to let control go. Man suffers from stress, depression, and anxiety a lot today. Some of it's chemical-based, some of it is our surroundings-based. The reason a lot of it is because we rely upon ourselves to control the situation and manage the problems. We want to be in control. And once we find that we lost control, we feel anxious. We feel a conflict, a war going on around us. It's a poem entitled Robin and Sparrow. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me." What did Jesus say about the birds of the air? In Matthew chapter 6, He says, "Consider the sparrow. They didn't make the stuff for their nest. Did they go and gather it? Yes, but God provided. They didn't go and make the food themselves, but God, they had to go and gather it. God provided it. They don't have a worry in the world because God provides." Again, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Be anxious for a few things." Is that what Paul said? You know he didn't. He said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Only when we present our requests to God can we not be anxious about anything. Today, as we think about this, you know, so often we say, "God, I'm giving you this." And people have said, "Terry, that's easier said than done." And I know it is. I am a product of needing to hear this sermon. I don't preach sermons I don't need to hear. I get it. But here's what we do. God, I'm giving this to you, but I'm going to hold on to it just with a fingertip. Just with a fingertip, God. I just got to have... You see, I can't... I won't have peace. I won't have peace. It takes a complete surrender and leaving it all with Him. By letting the One who is in control of all things take care of our needs, only then can we really be at peace. If we do not let go and let God, we'll carry the weight of the burden by ourselves. You've seen the picture of the Atlas character holding the world up. Sometimes we feel like that, right? I'm holding it all up. And listen, I can feel that way about my own life. I can feel that way about our contribution. I can feel that way about attendance. I can feel that way about my children's future. Guys, I get it. Listen, I am a poster child for holding on to things, and I don't want to be. In fact, I have people all the time tell me, stop worrying about that. Don't even look at it. So I don't want you to think I'm being a hypocrite up here. I get how hard that is. And it's not that I really like control. In fact, I'd rather be told what to do. But at the end of the day, we all have some of that, don't we? We feel that responsibility. But remember, Jesus says, I leave this gift with you. I give it to you. And it's not what the world gives out. You know, remember when Jesus turned the water to wine? You remember in John 2 when His mother was in a frenzy? If you look at what some commentaries state there, that Mary was kind of in charge of really this wedding reception, if you will. And that wedding reception was a big deal because, let's face it, they didn't go to the movies. They didn't go and this was their entertainment in a lot of ways. And so the town has come together and they run out of wine. How embarrassing. Jesus, on one hand, is sitting there thinking, you know, as soon as I do this, I got 3 years. This is the beginning of my public ministry. I'm going to reveal to this group of people who I am. But Mary doesn't think anything like that. Just remember, her problem is, her issue is, I'm about to be the laughing stock of all of Cana. And she turns to her son, the miracle worker. Remember, he tells her, he said, it's not my time. It's not my concern. But what did he do? It was better than they had ever had. You see, Jesus' wine was better wine than they'd ever had. So wouldn't it make sense that Jesus' peace is better peace than we've ever had? No wonder Paul says that we can't understand this peace, right? Only when we submit to verse 6 of Philippians 4 can we experience verse 7. No wonder Jesus says in John 14:27, I do not give peace to you as the world gives. Today, we got to recognize who's in control. He is sovereign. He is God. And we've got to surrender control and not hold on to it at all. There's only one thing left to do once we do all that. We receive His peace. After all, it is a gift. You think about it. Today, there may be some gifts given to people. I know that some are doing Christmas early. But at least in a couple weeks, there'll be gifts on Christmas Eve, given and received. I would imagine, I don't know, let's see. Is there a child in here that if somebody gives you a gift, you're going to say, I don't really want it? Is there a child in here that would do that? I don't think so. Probably not an adult in here. But listen, we're going to receive that gift, and we're going to open it up, and we're going to be appreciative of it. You know, hey, you might have to coach your kids up. I get it. When they go to certain places, you're going to like that gift no matter what it is. You be respectful. You be polite. You give them that speech, right? But we don't have to do that with this gift. But there are a lot of people that refuse it. There are a lot of people that refuse to have peace. It is a free gift of God. John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled," he said to those disciples at the beginning and at the end. John 16, 33, Jesus said, "In this world there will be tribulation." In Mark 4, they're on a ship, boat together. And there is a storm that comes up. Jesus is exhausted. He's not afraid of the water. He's not afraid of the wind. Why? Because He is sovereign. He's asleep on a pillow. But when they think they're going to die, they look at Him, and I mean, let's face it, okay, we can beat Him up all day long, but I kind of get it. We're bailing water, man. We're trying to save our lives, and you're asleep. Wake up! Do you not care that we're dying? Man, talk about bad alarms. He gets up, and He didn't say, "Storm, calm down." He said, "Peace, be still." You see, He is the calmer of the storm. The cure for troubled hearts, the solution for life's problems, and the calmness in the middle of the storm was opened in a stable in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. That gift is just as powerful today. In Psalm 29, verse 11, the psalmist simply says, "The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace." Today, you don't have to hold on to it anymore. You don't have to be in conflict anymore. You don't have to be at war anymore. The gift is there. Understand His sovereignty. Leave it at the cross. Accept the gift. Do it right now as together we stand and sing.